Hello everyone, welcome to the Laura Horn Art Podcast. This week I'm back and I'm joined by Richie and we're diving into the topic of visibility and finding your audience. It's a big topic and a bit of a tricky one, but I hope that you come away from this conversation with a few ideas and maybe a different perspective on finding your audience.
Hello Laura, how are you going?
I'm very well, thank you. I enjoyed my rest last week. And I loved listening to your podcast, your very first solo episode. How did it feel to create a podcast on your own?
Nerve-wracking and weird. You know, I think I mentioned in the podcast that we normally have this chat because it's more natural when you're talking to someone, when you're eye to eye, or your words, the pace at which you talk, all that kind of stuff. But when you're on your own, it's weird.
I thought you did such a wonderful job of the way that you had the questions and then responded to them. It was very, like it had a nice flow to it.
Yeah, a lot of questions came in. So thank you very much for all the questions.
So I'm just thinking for anyone who's listening who doesn't know what we're talking about, we should probably send them over to have a listen to that episode. So that's last week's episode, which you can find at laurahornart.com/the podcast/123.
Yes.
But anyway, I'm back this week, so you're stuck with me. I enjoyed having a break though, and I'm very grateful that you saw that I was floundering a little bit and suggested that you could take the reins for the week. It was just what I needed. I was on the road to exhausting myself to the point where I would need a longer break.
Yeah.
But just having a few days where I could take my mind off the art biz for a bit was very helpful. And I feel quite energized coming back in this week. And it also enabled me to focus in on the participants over in our e-course that is running at the moment. And so we have a group of people going through the Modern Mixed Media e-course. And sometimes it can be hard to fit everything into a day, you know, recording podcasts, creating Instagram content, being in the classroom. I now have 3 Facebook groups that I'm jumping in and out of, and then I'm over in Teachable answering comments and I'm checking my emails. And some days it feels chaotic. Just taking one thing off of my list of responsibilities in a way, or tasks, freed me up, and I thoroughly enjoyed spending some time over in my communities last week. So there you go. You know, sometimes you just got to ask for a little bit of help or take a break, and even just a day or a few hours can make a difference.
Yeah, look, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I loved doing it. Yeah, even after that, you were saying to me, oh, there's a couple of things maybe you could have elaborated on. So there is room there for me to give you a break when you need one. Because we're doing the podcast in seasons now, so like 12 episodes or how many episodes per season, maybe I could take on one of those episodes in the middle just to give you a break, but focus on something particular.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's not just about giving me a break, because you have so much information and skills. The kind of stuff that artists today are grappling with and really need help with. And that's what I noticed from the comments that were coming through after your episode, was that there were many artists saying, oh, I'd love to hear more about how to set up my cameras or how to create a short little video for Facebook or Instagram, or taking photographs in natural light. And the things that you talked about, I noticed that many artists just wanted to hear more.
Yeah.
So it's something we've been thinking about, is you doing a couple of episodes that are more like a little training, a little tech training on an area. So we'd love to know if people would be interested in that. I don't even really need to ask that question, because we've had enough come through from last week to know that that many of you want to learn more about these particular things. So we'll have a chat about it, and maybe you'll take over the mic again sometime in the next month or two. But anyway, today I want to come back to Something that has been on my mind a bit lately, and it was emphasized when you read out the review last week. So I want to read a little bit of it out again, and you answered it, but I want to also go a bit deeper because it's a topic that I just want to spend a bit of time with.
Yeah.
So the review came from Rachel, and I'm just looking at where I'll start from. Here we go. I'll start here. I'm wondering if you would mind doing a podcast about visibility and finding your audience. I have been developing my practice for the past 13 years, have a website, am part of multiple online galleries and bricks and mortar galleries. I have my own newsletter, am on multiple social media sites, but don't seem to be making much traction. Being in my mid-40s, having two young kids and working 5 days is very tricky in terms of gaining time to progress in my business. It can sometimes be disheartening to see friends, even though I love that they have gained success to become full-time artists when I have been working hard for so long. I would appreciate any advice you have to give. Many thanks for the positivity you inject into people's lives, Rachel. So I wanted to come back to that because Rachel isn't the only person who has reached out to me recently with a very similar kind of message around, I'm doing all the things. I'm making consistent content. I've invested in myself. I'm taking good photographs, creating videos. I'm on all these different platforms. I have a newsletter. All the things that we talk about in this podcast. And it's hard when you hear that people are doing all these things, but they're not getting the results that they desire. And I wanted to chat about, I don't know if I have the answers to this, but I wanted to, I guess, muse on it with you a little bit around why do some artists stand out? Like how do some artists manage to break free of the crowd and kind of get that attention that we're all sort of trying to get? And it's something I've been thinking about a lot. And I started my process with this, looking at who are the artists that I follow and why do I follow them? Like, what is it about these particular people that have grabbed my attention? And when I thought about it, I realized that it's very different. And there are a variety of ways that an artist might stand out to me. So I'm going to run through this first and see whether any of this you can relate to and chime in on. But some artists stand out to me because they are very aspirational. So I look up to them and I might admire their technical ability. So it's almost like their art speaks very loudly. So it's less about their personality and all the kind of behind the scenes stuff. There are artists that I follow and it's all about the art. And they often don't tend to post as much about their personal lives or even their process. There's like this element of mystery to what they do. But their feed on Instagram looks more like a portfolio. So when you go in, it's very curated and the pieces of art are always well presented. So that's something that I've spent time on. And often they are targeting their Instagram towards attracting collectors of their work and gallery representation. So it's mostly focused on that rather than teaching. Those pages I just like because I get to see the art and it encourages me to keep going with my own art practice. But it's mostly about the technical skills of that artist. So I think some artists stand out because they present their work incredibly well. It's very well thought out and very focused. As I say, I call them like the aspirational artists. They're excellent at what they do and they're the kinds that, you know, when you're flicking through your feed, you're kind of like, ooh.
You're in awe.
It's awe, yes, yes. So that's one kind of category of creator that I look at or artist that I look at and I'm just kind of like, whoa. I kind of don't even think of myself as being anywhere within their league. Do you know what I mean? Like they're like just out there, yeah. Special.
I get it, yeah.
Like, oh.
Like, there's a girl on YouTube and her name is Heather Rooney. She releases these time lapses of her doing very realistic pencil drawings. And I just mesmerized looking at it. Like, she'll do an eyeball. And
yeah.
But it's photorealistic. And it's just nodding your head going, this is, can't believe a human being is doing this. Like, just pure awe.
Yes, that's a good way of putting it. So this is the category of artists that are really good at just making us...
blowing you away.
Yeah, blowing you away with their sheer talent and skill. And behind that is a lot of hours of practice, and they've also mastered presenting their work. That's always very clear as well. So they do very good photos or videos, and often they'll use like white space like in their backgrounds and things like that, so that their focus is on nothing but their art. So it's very clever in that way. So they're not necessarily throwing in props and things like that. They are very clear about what it is they're putting out there, and it's their art, and they're letting their art speak up very loudly. So that's one category. Then there are artists that feel like they could be my friend. And they're relatable, and they share a lot of their ups and downs, the personal side of being an artist. They let their personality out. So some of them are funny and amusing and entertaining. And one artist that springs to mind straight away is Phoebe Gander, who often does the most wonderful little videos on Instagram about being an artist and about, you know, when inspiration strikes and when it doesn't. And they just brighten up your day. And she did a brilliant one recently about the Instagram algorithm. So if you want to check that out, make sure that you look Phoebe Gander up over on Instagram. She's also been a guest on our podcast. And these artists are also very good at building community, and they focus on providing value to their audience through things like sharing tips, short instructional videos, creating challenges. Like, it's very much about bringing people together along with them. And these artists feel very much like you could be friends with them or be them, you know, like you kind of want to be them. And it feels like you could, like it's, there's that relatability, like it's not quite the same as the other category where you're like, oh.
Yeah, the first category of artist is you look at them and you know, or you believe that you could never reach that level. But with the one you're talking about now, you're like, oh, I could do this.
Yeah, like you still have...
it gives you hope.
You have absolute respect for what they're doing and you admire their work. But at the same time, they're very good at like making you feel like you could do it too. Mm. Like, they're very giving and caring towards their community. And it's almost like they're putting their hand out and saying, come on, you can do this. Come and do this with me. It'll be fun. So there's that type of artist that's out there, very relatable, very human. And often they are embracing what it is they have in their personality. So whether or not they might be funny or they might be calm, like there are artists that are very calm and gentle, and you watch what they're doing and it's the music they choose and everything like that, and you're like, ooh, I just feel relaxed. I feel, you know. So there's different kinds of approaches with this. There's not like one type of personality or way of being relatable, but it's that they really are like letting you have a piece of them, which is lovely.
Yeah, like you've mentioned before that I like to watch those restoration videos and wood turning videos on YouTube. And I didn't even know they had a name, but you said it was called Slow TV. And I get it 100%, being able to just relax and watch somebody do something that's sped up, of course. But you're looking at it and like a 20-minute video must have easily taken a week to make.
Mm.
You know, so there's a lot of time and effort gone into it.
Yes.
And it deserves the millions of views that it gets, but it's just 20 minutes of peace.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's brought me back to the review that we read out at the beginning talking about struggling to find the time to make the art a priority and get the business off the ground, especially if you are still working full time and you've got children that you're looking after, because some of these things that artists are doing that are getting attention do take quite a long time to create. And that's something that you might not realize when you're on Instagram and you see a reel or a little video time lapse, but that could have taken the best part of the whole day. And if you're at work all day, you don't necessarily have the same capacity to create this content that can be very engaging and go viral.
Yeah, like we have this subconscious awareness of something that is difficult to do. So even if you have like a really good personality and you're warm and welcoming, there's a part of us that realized that, like, she set up a camera, she sat down, she filmed it, she recorded it, she edited it, she put it together. You know, she took the time to give me this thing that's entertaining me. Or when you look at, you know, back to Heather Rooney, it's sped up, but you're like, this must have taken her hundreds of hours to do.
It's difficult because I know with our business, I only got so far when I was working part-time. I was never working full-time, so I can only imagine how challenging it is when you're working full-time and trying to make content and be seen. It got better when I cut my hours back. It got even better when we were able to go full-time, or I should say when I went full-time, and then later on you came and joined me full-time. And our growth has been exponential as we've invested more time in it. There comes a point where you have to weigh up, and sometimes you do need to take a little bit of a leap of faith in order to move forwards. And it's hard. And I'm not saying go out and quit your job, but just speaking from my own experience, I don't think that I would have been able to get our art business off the ground if I hadn't made a decision to go on long service leave. Like, I did actually leave my work for a period of time just to focus on the art business. And again, I went in and I negotiated lower working hours and stuff. So sometimes you've got to do something in order to carve out a little bit more time, because the people that are getting seen, almost all of them, I think you'd be amazed at how much time they're spending on getting seen. That's the part, you know, you may not actually even have the hours in the day to even get close if you're working full time and you've got kids and stuff, to compare yourself to someone who is spending 10, 12 hours a day on their art business.
People often ask you, like, how did you get your first, you know, 25,000 followers? And you always default back to, I don't know, I got lucky, right place, right time. But I remember you would come home from work and you'd be on your phone from dinner time to bedtime. Like, you were on that phone all the time. You were looking for ways to share, to whatever you were doing. I'm just getting back to the time. Like, it takes time. And if you're giving your children that time, which you should be, by the way, you shouldn't be on your phone, then you're not going to have the time to be growing in social media. And then we did the podcast about how to get 10,000 followers in a month. I think we got there 4 days early or something. We did it in 3.5 weeks. But it was very, very difficult.
Yeah.
Stories, proper posts, podcasts. Like, we threw everything at getting 10,000 followers, and it was emotionally, spiritually, and physically exhausting. I feel for her. I really, really do. But you got to sell a bit of your soul.
You do. And when I was starting out, it wasn't always very healthy at all. It was pretty horrible at times. Yeah. To be pushing so hard behind the scenes and getting home from a day at work and then spending a couple of hours just on my phone. I remember be trying to cook dinner and trying to post and thinking to myself I should post every day. I definitely feel like there was a bit of selling my soul involved in getting seen initially. So you have to weigh that up. You have to go, you know, I mean, I feel very lucky now because we have been able to get past that stage and put in barriers, and it's a lot better now. But we did have a period where we had to grind and work in a way that wasn't ideal.
Like when you wanted to grow your emailing list, your newsletter became, you got so obsessive over it. Like it would take you nights, hours to write copy, like the right copy. The way you selected your colors, the templates, even your font. You went through something like 5 different types of font. And then you changed your logo twice. And I'm just thinking back to your newsletter and the amount of work that went into that. And we were talking about on last week's podcast, how do I put up with you? And I used to be thinking, you know, a bad art day, you would have a bad writing day.
Oh, I just have a bad day because my expectation of what I wanted to get done that day and what I actually could in the available time was misaligned, because you are chasing these things. You're chasing followers and you're chasing, you know, I must post today and I must send out a newsletter once a week and I should be doing this and maybe I should be on Pinterest. And it's just, you know, that was definitely the case. And I've been through a few periods where I've really had to think about, is this what I want? And that's when I have to realign and get back to why it is we started the business in the first place.
Yeah.
So that's important too, like when you are chasing this exposure, to be very, I guess, clear about what it is you're wishing for, whether or not it's actually what you need. Do you need a certain number of Instagram followers or not? Or are there other ways, which we'll get into a bit in a minute? Let me get back to one other sort of category of artists that stands out to me. And of course, there's all sorts of other artists that stand out, but I just thought I'd break it down and maybe have a bit of fun with it in this episode. So the next category is what I would call kind of like the different to the category that we started with. This is more like a teacher, someone who can provide you with skills and knowledge and pass on techniques and ideas in a very clear and easy to implement kind of way. So this is kind of the go-to person for information and advice on a particular area. And, you know, I listen to podcasts for this reason, like certain podcasts. I listen to them not necessarily because they have the likability factor that we talked about, like I don't necessarily want to be friends with them, but I go to them because they provide me with excellent, clear information that I can put into practice and it will improve my life in some way. And this can be related to art, as in you provide great little tutorials where someone can get to know how to use a paintbrush or mix colors in a certain way. Or it can be related to the art business side of things where you clearly show someone how to create an Instagram reel, or you show them how you edit your photographs or take photographs, or, you know, lay out your palette, whatever it might be. They provide you with this really easy, digestible instruction. And that's what they stand out for, being clear, articulate, very practical and helpful. Ultimately, these are people that really help you. Like you find them and you go, oh my gosh, I've been wanting to know how to do that for so long, or that's going to save me time in my art business or something like that. And you remember those people, you go back to them and you check out some of their other content. That's another kind of artist or creator that really stands out to me, is people that can help me solve problems in my art or in my art biz.
Yeah, there's a guy I follow, his name is Jared Polin, and he, like, he's real gimmicky, you know, like he has a gimmick, he's called the Fro because he has this big afro, but he's a white guy from Philadelphia and he has this big crazy hair. And he's an excellent teacher and he gives so much stuff away for free. It is unbelievable. He does 2-hour real world reviews of a camera that you might be thinking of buying, or a lens that you're you know, you don't know whether to pull the trigger on it or not. And he has all this amazing information. And he's like, he has clickbait titles and he has funny thumbnails and all that kind of stuff. And then he did a project called 6 Degrees or something was the name of his project. And he would go to a famous person, photograph them, interview them, and then that famous person would put him in touch with another famous person. And he did this 6 degree project all around America. And when he releases the videos on it, you're looking at it going, oh, you're an excellent photographer. I just thought you were this gimmick. You forget how amazing they are. Like he shot the Foo Fighters, Bernie Sanders, like amazing access. And I'm just looking going, I totally forgot that you're an amazing photographer.
That's an interesting point that you mention, where if you become really well known for kind of your gimmicks or your even your personality, does it detract from the actual work that you do?
Yeah.
Do people stop, sort of forget in a way that you actually take photographs or you make art? It's something that I've also wondered sometimes.
Mm.
But then you can do something like that, which really showcases what it is you do. And it reminds everyone, it's like a smack in the face. It's yeah. like, hey, hey, everyone.
This is what I do. Yeah.
yeah. yeah. Which is awesome. Another thing that stood out to me about that was the shareability factor of what it is that you create. That's another way that artists get a very big boost, is that they create something that people then share with their friends. So whether that's a short little Instagram video or they create a challenge, and we saw that recently when we created a 5-day challenge, that brought a lot of exposure to our art business. So sometimes creating something that is helpful and easy for people to pass on to someone else. So if you have a particular skill set and you can put together something useful, like how you take photographs of your art, or, you know, we did a video around how I use Trello. That was another thing that was popular. Like people shared it and passed it on, and it brought in a new audience for us. So a big thing is looking at how do you provide value to people, and is it something that they can then share and, you know, use that word of mouth? But sometimes when you're creating content, you don't really think about it like that. You just share on the go. You're not being that strategic, I guess, in a way. But one of the things that I often think about, and I don't know if other people do this, but when I share something on Instagram, I try and imagine how I would feel if that post popped into my feed. So I pretend like I'm a normal person, supposed to be.
Abnormal. Yeah.
But like I sort of try and put myself in the shoes of someone who would be receiving this content. And sometimes I'm doing this to gauge whether something is helpful, maybe checking in saying, is this like me or is this too salesy? Like I'm just kind of checking in on how it would feel. So I'm trying to look at it from the perspective of someone else. So I'm sort of like imagining it popping up and checking in on what it feels like. So I find that to be quite helpful. And I do it with newsletters as well. Like I sort of read my newsletter and I try and imagine, like, if this just landed in my inbox, would I open it? Would it annoy me? Would I think that person's like, ugh? <You know? laughs> Like I just try and, you know, and then sometimes I get it wrong. Like sometimes I send something out or I post something and I look at it a year later and I go, ugh. It happens. Mm. It happens. Sometimes you're in the midst of maybe pushing something, like you've got a new course coming out or whatever, and it's tricky to strike that balance between providing the information that you want to provide and being a bit pushy with it or overly salesy. I know we had a request for a podcast on that topic specifically, about how do you promote yourself without feeling and salesy. So that might be something we get into in another conversation. Generally, yeah, I like to just see how I feel, like sort of run my content pass that little check and pretend that I'm somebody else. Yeah, because it can be hard when you're inside something and you're seeing it from like the, you know, where you've got like all the menu options and things like that. But you need to sort of look at it from how does someone actually see this? And yeah, you can do it with anything like a website page, Facebook group, anything like that. And if you can't do it yourself, because sometimes it's hard, you could always ask someone to have a look at your website or read your newsletter and get the sense of how it's coming across, like what's the tone like. Another factor with visibility, and it's important to mention this because some art is just more popular. So it's obvious. There are trends. There are things that are more accessible to people. So we saw that a few years ago with resin art and all the sort of like flowy, drippy kind of paintings, because people could quite easily give that a go. You know, watercolor is very popular. It's also very competitive. So keep that in mind. When you have a popular art area, then you also have a lot of
competition
too. But watercolor florals have become very popular recently. I certainly find in my own art there is more of a preference towards watercolor over acrylic, and also recognizable imagery over pure abstract. But abstracts are popular. Abstract has been very popular for the last probably decade or so, and particularly mark making, playful sort of stuff that people can easily have a go at is appealing. So that's always going to be a factor. So you have to have a look at what type of art you make and whether it has that mainstream appeal. And I don't say that because I'm saying go and do something mainstream so that you appeal to people. I'm just saying know your parameters in a way. And with something that's more niche, what's more important is engaging with the smaller audience that you have, because you can certainly have a very successful art business with a small audience if you can build up a collector base, different avenues for your art, like different income streams. And what I want to do is bring someone onto the podcast who has less than 10,000 Instagram followers that is doing very well in their art business to talk about this. And I have someone in mind.
Great.
So I want to provide some interviews in the future where we dive into the questions that you are asking and provide some real world examples.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of way I'm working at the moment. And we haven't had a lot of artist interviews recently, taken a bit of a break. And now I feel like I'm ready to jump back in. And I'd love to bring in guests that can help us with our challenges. So I'm looking at messages that are coming in and particular topics and I guess pain points, things that people are really struggling and grappling with. And I don't have all the answers. I only have my own experience to talk from. And I know that I have been very fortunate to be able to build up a large Instagram following, and that certainly helped me, but it's not the only way. And I'm becoming more and more aware of artists that are achieving a lot within their niche, and that's something I want to explore more. I think at this stage, what I'm hoping to do is bring some artists on who have their own story to tell. So particularly artists that have been able to overcome some of the challenges that often come up in this podcast, but perhaps have done it in a different way to what I have, because we're at episode number 124, and I feel like many people have heard my story, my approach, and how I do things. But it would be interesting to hear from an artist that has achieved a certain level of success, but done it in a different way, particularly perhaps without focusing in so much on social media, for example. So artists that are doing well, but it's not as visual, because there are artists out there that are selling hundreds and hundreds of prints every week through other outlets, and they're just going about their business.
Yeah.
And things are ticking over in the background. They're making a passive income.
And that's quite apt because the question was, you know, how do I get more followers? How do I get more views on me? Whereas there's people out there with 500 followers and they're full-time artists.
That's right.
And very happy.
That's what I want to have a look at. And it's a bit of an investigation in a way as to what other business models are there out there. Because my business model has been being an Instagram artist. But that's certainly not the only type of artist out there. And I'd love to chat more with artists that have been able to do really well, for example, with gallery representation, focusing in more on bricks and mortar galleries, and artists that have written books and have done well in sharing their knowledge in that format. So there's lots of different options.
Excellent. I look forward to that.
So that's something I'm thinking about at the moment, is looking at the different kind of pathways and interviewing artists with backgrounds that are different to mine. Because I've also had quite a lot of artists on the podcast that also have used Instagram a lot and have fairly big followings. So I'd like to look at a different model. Okay. So I'm going to end this conversation by saying what I said at the beginning. I'm not sure if I've answered the question.
I did a terrible job last week as well.
It's a really hard one. It is difficult. But I hope that you found the conversation interesting and maybe it's opened up a few different lines of thought, and particularly to think about how it is that you provide value to your audience, and that there are many different ways, whether that be through sharing your personality, sharing your awe-inspiring art, sharing your wisdom and your ability to teach, or looking at what success means, whether or not it's worth pushing so hard to get those numbers and whether it's even necessary. There are so many questions and ways to approach this. But I do hope that you enjoyed the episode and that you got something out of it this week. And I'm looking forward to chatting with other artists about these challenges and getting some insight and tips and wisdom from artists that have taken a different route. So that's it for this week, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed the conversation, we absolutely love it when you share it over on Instagram and also when you leave us a review. We like hearing from you so that we can answer your questions and talk about the things that you want to hear about. Have a lovely week, and we hope that you'll join us again next time.